I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles again to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. We're coming to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. There are many things that we could take as a theme in Proverbs. We're going to leave it for now, and we're going to look at the virtuous woman here in Proverbs, chapter 31. I'm going to read from verse 1 of Proverbs, chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reign of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for the virtuous ladies among us. We thank thee for wives. We thank thee for those that fear the Lord and those that seek to follow thee. And we pray, Lord, that that might be a characteristic not only of the ladies here, but of each one of us. O God, that we might have that godly fear in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, just bless us now, we'd ask of thee, and help us to understand thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. There's a joke that tells of three women that were walking along a beach. One was a brunette, one was a redhead, and the other was a blonde. And as they were walking, they found a lamp. And they had read the fairy tales, and they felt, well, they'll try it out to see what would happen if they could be granted their wishes. So the brunette rubbed the lamp, and she wished that she could be funny. And immediately she turned into a redhead. And then the blonde, she rubbed the lamp, and she said, I wish I could be smart. And she turned into a brunette. And then the blonde took the lamp and she says, well, I don't wish to be smart and I don't wish to be funny, but I wish I could just sit around all day and have somebody else attend me all the time and do nothing. And immediately she turned into a man. I'm afraid there's a lot of truth maybe in that old joke. Those who are married maybe appreciate, maybe we don't appreciate enough the men here, the work that our wives do, and especially those that have a family at home. Now the ladies here, we look at this passage of scripture and we see God's ideal womanhood. Here is God's ideal, the description of what a woman should be. Now, if you were to look at it in the Hebrew here, you would find that like the Psalm 119, this is an alphabetical poem. Every verse, there's 22 verses here in this description, and every one of them starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph down to Tau. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, the word virtuous there in the Hebrew is a word that means excellent or strength. She is a woman of excellent character. But it asks, who can find one? And obviously it's saying that this is something that is hard to find. And indeed, as the ladies, I'm sure, have read down the list of what it is here, you will say to yourself, well, this is a superwoman. And so she is. This is a superwoman. This is God's ideal. But just because here we have a superwoman, maybe somebody you say, well, I could never be like that. Well, this is God's ideal, and we try to live up to God's ideal. And here's a man, King Lemuel here, he's had the blessing of having a godly mother. She has brought up her son to do that which is right and avoid the dangers of life. And he launches into this full-length portrait of the virtuous woman, and he speaks of the high price of such a woman. Now, in Somalia, a good woman is worth 50 camels. In Delhi, you may get one for a new scooter or some furniture or a few appliances. King Saul, he gave for the price of 100 Philistines. But I think Lemuel has it well measured. He says her price is far above rubies. In other words, she's priceless. She's priceless. So here are the personality, the priceless personality. Here are the ruby riches of the virtuous woman. And I want us to look at her description here for a few minutes today. And I want us to see there are a number of areas here that are covered by the poem. And I want you to see, first of all, the virtuous woman and her husband. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, of course, this is a reference to a married woman. Some of the characteristics in this will also apply to those that are not married. But we see here, and they are characteristics indeed that should be displayed by the man too. But here, specifically, it speaks about the virtuous woman and her husband. Now, notice the confidence she evokes. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. In other words, the husband trusts her to look after the affairs of the household. He trusts her to look after what needs to be done. And men should trust their wives. You know, the woman should be able to control the purse strings. She should have that freedom to buy what is necessary, the things that are needed to run the household and so on. And there are men that don't seem to trust their wives to look after the affairs of the house, and they don't seem to have that loving trust in them. But of the virtuous woman, it says that her husband should trust her. There's a confidence that she evokes. But also notice the comfort she provides. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And there you have the picture of what obviously is the most intimate of relationships. There's a love that does not fail. And the wife, will seek after her husband's good, as the husband also should seek after his wife's good. They are to build each other up. They are to strengthen the hand of one another. We noticed that the word virtuous there also means strength. She is a strengthener. She is someone who strengthens her husband. She will approach her husband sensitively and gently help him to grow and to flourish, as we should do with everyone. As Christians, we should be those that look at people and seek to build them up, to strengthen them, to help them to grow. And we see one of the lessons that's taught here in the book. It is a lesson that we should learn of strengthening one another, of bearing one another's burdens, of comforting one another, of being there to help one another. It says that he will do, or she will do, her husband good and not evil. You know, there are those wives that have gone into a backslidden state. And I've been told of how they seek to bring their husbands down along with them, put temptation in their husband's way. Well, that's evil. They don't do evil. Don't put temptation in your husband's way. And husbands, don't put temptation in your wife's way. You should not hold your wife or your husband back from following the Lord. We're told of King Solomon in 1 Kings 11 and 4. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And so often it is that one can be an influence on another, either for godliness or for evil. We're to build each other up. We're to comfort one another. We're to bless one another and to flourish and help each other in the ways of God. Now, of course, in order to do that, you've got to be saved. You've got to know the Lord as your Savior and as your Lord. There is the comfort she provides. But also notice the character she displays. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And the thought there is that this woman has done nothing to hinder the reputation of her husband. She has enhanced the reputation of her husband so that he sits in the gate. And of course, when we were looking at the book of Ruth, we noticed that sitting in the gate is the place of authority. It's the place where all the business was done. So a man that sits in the gates is a man that is honoured, a man that is authority, a man that has been pushed forward, as it were, in his life. Well, this man sits in the gate because his wife has helped him. She is there in the background. And so many of us can say that what we are because of our wives. They have helped us. They are there in the background. They are there enhancing us. On the other hand, I can think of husbands who, because of the lack of wisdom of their wives or because their wives went out and said something. I remember hearing of a wife that went out of a meeting like this and said exactly what she thought about everybody else in the meeting. And of course, well, her husband didn't last long, very long after that. I'm sure we can all think of instances like that where the wife, or indeed the husband, through lack of wisdom, has destroyed any reputation that they both had. This is a virtuous woman, and we see her character here. We notice the virtuous woman and her husband. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the virtuous woman and her hard work. Look at verses 13 to 19. It says, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her husband, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, there's so much there in that portion that is almost blinding, but I want you to see something that I noticed as I read that list and as I looked at this for study, that the Bible's picture of the virtuous woman is not a woman that simply stays at home and does the dishes and cleans up the house after the children. If you think that, then this portion of scripture will give you a rude awakening. There are husbands that think that that is the role of the wife, to stay at home and do the dishes and look after the children. Well, you notice what it says here. There's something that is far reaching in this vision of the woman. Here she is in her hard work. Now notice what she is. If you look at the portion of scripture, she's a businesswoman. It says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from far. Now, before I say this, can I say that it is only but right that a woman stays and looks after children. There is a maternal instinct. There is that, and there is a difference between the sexes, no matter what the political correctness may say. And a woman is far more fitted to look after those children. That's not to say the men can't look after them too, but the woman is far more fitted for that. There is a difference, and there is a difference between the sexes. What I want you to see here is that this woman does business. She looks after affairs. The Oriental notion of a woman being in a harem has no place in the Bible. When we talk about the woman here running the affairs of the house, we're talking about a position of honour and a position of responsibility. She is one who balances the budgets. She is one who purchases things, and she looks after the running of the home. But the vision here, the picture here, goes beyond that. You'll notice, perhaps this surprises you as it did me, it says she's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. So there's a sense of buying and selling there. And then you go down to verse 23 and it's even clearer. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. So she's in the manufacturing business. And she's making garments and she sells them to the merchants. Now that's real business in the modern sense of the term. Now, it's certainly good when a mother has her children that she stays at home and looks after the children. But nevertheless, we see here that in the midst, here's a woman who is a businesswoman. She looks after affairs. She's a businesswoman. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Now here's something perhaps goes beyond the role that we even have today. She buys the land and she plants the vineyard. She's a farmer. Now that, I'm not saying that all the farmers here give up their business and let the wives do it or go into the land investment business. But I want you to see even here in the Bible the radical way that the Bible talks about the roles of women here. And I think that sometimes as we look here we mistake what the Bible says. Certainly there's a role. There is a role for a man. There's a role for a woman. And a woman has a maternal instinct. She has the children and so on and so forth. But we see the radical nature of the Bible's picture of the woman and her hard work. She's one that buys and sells. She even buys land and sells and plants vineyards and so on and so forth. She's a businesswoman. Not only that, but she's a compassionate woman. Look at verse 23. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And then look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. There are many people, they are too busy to look after other people. Too self-important to think about others. We live in a very selfish age today. We don't think about those that are poor and struggling maybe in other lands. But we should. We should be a people of hospitality. Here's a woman that's not too busy to think about others. She's not too busy to speak a word of kindness. She's not got so high and mighty in her business and all that she's able to do as she buys and sells and even buys land and plants vineyards. She's not too busy to have a compassion for others. Oh, in our busyness, let's not lose our sense of other people and our thought about other people, and let's have that compassion towards those that are around about us. So we notice the virtuous woman and her hard work. Then look at the virtuous woman and her home. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Look at verses 18 and 19. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. You know, I read off a newspaper article that tried to put a proper rate, you know, a financial rate, on being a full-time wife and a mother. Well, I don't think perhaps that there's any of us that could afford it if you did have a real rate on a wife and a mother. The average mother and the average wife, of course, does an incredible amount, and it takes a great amount of discipline to juggle the needs of her husband, the needs of her children, the meal times, the varied menu, getting everything right, the cupboards are stocked, and all the right food is there, and the sheets are clean, and the floor is clean, and the clothes are washed, not to mention all the counselling and the chauffeuring and all the other things, the careers advice that needs to be done. My, what an amount of things are involved in being a mother and a wife. Now, I want you to notice what it says about this woman here. I want you to notice how she is disciplined, but she's also organized. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she's disciplined, but she makes provision for the winter time. When the snow comes, when they're not able to get out, and when the harvest has passed, she makes provision for the times when there's nothing to be had. It's a wise mother, a wise wife that does that. And not only for the physical things, we think of the food and so on being stocked, but we think of the trials and difficulties that come along the way of life. And of course, a wise mother will prepare her children for the trials and the difficulties that come. For come they will, when the cold winds of adversity begin to blow, and the winter time of ill winds come upon the heart and upon the life. We need that to know that our children are able to stand. We've made provision for them. But I want you to look at the picture of the virtuous woman. She's one who runs her home. She provides. Look at what it says. She provides tapestry for her home. She keeps her home clean and presentable. I know that preachers rail against the materialism of this day and generation. It's nice to have a nice home when you can. It's nice when it's kept well and everything's there that you can afford to have nice things in the home. And if you can have nice things in your home, God bless you. As long as you don't work every hour to make sure that you can have those things and you give your time to God and so on and you put God first in your life, then God bless you if you can have all those things. But this woman looks after her home. She cleans her home, provides for her home, makes it presentable, puts the tapestries, as it were, and has everything presentable. And I want us, as men folk, to appreciate the amount of effort and the amount of work that our wives are go through, and the amount of effort and discipline and organization that is needed. We notice the virtuous woman and her home. But then I want you to notice something else. Notice the virtuous woman and her heart. Now, we've been talking all this time about the virtuous woman. She's an honourable woman. She's an excellent woman. Notice also in verse 12 that she does not evil, she does good. So there is some reference to her heart. Now, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we should realize that in order to be a virtuous woman, you need your heart right, first of all. You need to know the Savior. The first thing about the heart of this woman is that it is a converted heart. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is a woman who fears the Lord. This is a woman who has the Lord first in her life. When you fear God, you don't risk his wrath. You obey him. You put him first. In all of the things that you do in the running of your life, the Lord will be first. There's no way that a person that truly fears the Lord will in any way risk the displeasure of God. Now, in order to do that, first of all, you need to come to Him. You need to obey His command. You need your sins washed away. For those sins separate between you and your God. You need a converted heart. You need to fear God. If you're going to live up to the picture of the virtuous woman that is here in this portion of Scripture. Now, you're saying to me, preacher, that if I'm not saved, I can't be a good mother or a good wife. No, I'm not saying that. There are many good wives and many good mothers who are not saved. And we can see them all around. But in order to train up your children absolutely properly and to give them the right perspective, and after all, your children are never really educated unless they put the Lord first in their life and unless you've taught them to have the Lord as their Savior and as their God, then you have not trained your children aright. You can't do that unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't do the best for your children unless the Lord is first in your life, first of all. Unless they see an example in your life. You can't have that all. You can be a good mother. You can train them as best you can. But there's one thing that is needful, and that's the Lord in their life. They need to seek first the kingdom of God. So, mums, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you give the right guidance to your children? Are they living by your example? And mums, fathers, what is your example? What are you showing your children as they live day by day? We need to have that example. And I wonder what sort of example you are setting your children. We notice the virtuous woman and her heart. It's a converted heart. It's a heart that is given to God. But then I want you to notice one more thing. I want you to see the virtuous woman and her honour. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Children, young people, stop a minute. Suppose your mother was killed in a car accident tomorrow and you had to go to her funeral on Wednesday. What would you wish on Wednesday you'd told her? Her children arise up and call her blessed. Tell her. Strengthen her. Strengthen her hand in God. What about us husbands? You know, if I lost my wife, there are many things I should have said. And if I am typical, and I suspect I am, I haven't said those things. We need to praise her. Praise her. Her husband also, he praises her. Professor Drummond, when he was writing The Life of D.L. Moody, said that if D.L. Moody was asked the secret of his happy life and usefulness, apart from his conversion and the power of God in his heart, what would he have said was the secret of his usefulness and his happy life? Professor Drummond said, undoubtedly, he would have said, Mrs. Moody. Praise her. Let's not be afraid to praise her. And the reason that we need to praise them is because it will strengthen their heart in God. We'll honour the Lord. We'll give great joy. You know, it is the cranks and the Scrooges of the world who will not praise. You know, it has been said that the outward praise of the lips is an indication of the inward health of the heart. Lemuel says here, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, the Bible sets a high standard, but it is one that we reach towards. Start off with the fear of God. And then give God your all. And then thank God, as you walk with Him, you have these characteristics of a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. She's priceless. And oh, as we look at our wives or mothers today, may we see the priceless nature of those that we love. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.